The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. All I can tell you is the champ is here. I am joined by Henry Cejudo. Henry, what's going on, man?
Good to be in the presence of the American badass.
Well, that's nice of you. Thank you. I was thinking the same thing. So I got to ask. I'm going to have to ask you all the same redundant, annoying things I'm sure you spoke of since that night in Brooklyn. Yeah. But how annoyed are you with having to answer for was that fight stopped early?
I'll be honest with you, Chael. Like, it doesn't bother me, man. Like, it's, I knew what I was going to do to TJ. A fighter knows that, man. I'm a shark. When you smell blood, I'm going out there and I'm going to kill you, man. He better thank God for that ref because he wasn't going to make it out that minute.
You know what is funny about it, though? There seems to be some weird piece of psychology that when a fight ends in any level of controversy, nobody remembers the previous moments of the fight. For example, people forget how TJ ended up down there in the first place. And I feel as though that's an attempt by fans who are resentful, TJ fans, I would suspect, that are trying to take away from your glorious moment. And I think business-wise, you guys are probably in a great spot. You've got the footage, you got the controversy, boom, you go into the rematch. But competitively, they're trying to steal your moment. And I don't, that makes me hurt for you a little bit.
Yeah, no, I don't feel that one bit, Chael. Like, not one bit, man. Like, not one tiny, tiny bit. I know what I did to that man. He knows what I did to him. And I'm at peace, man. Like, like I said, man, I wish the ref would have let it go on a little longer. Cause he was going to be even chinnier. And that's just kind of the way that's really the way I see it, Chael. Like, he better thank God, man. I dropped him three times. Three times. The ref is in the line of fire with me. Like, he's not someone that's across you. He's not someone that's across the cage. Like, he's there, man. He's hearing moans and groans. You can hear it when you fight.
For sure.
You can't hear it in the stands. You can hear it. Nobody listens to that. When you start hearing things like that, that's, dude, you're out, man. I'm gonna put you out.
That gets the adrenaline going, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, man. His facial structure, like when I see people, you know, because fighting is like poker. You gotta be able to keep this. You gotta be able to have a poker face where you have no idea what cards this man has in front of you. When I start seeing kind of cockeyed, I was like, okay, he's not doing well. Now it's time to finish him.
Yeah, it was exciting, though. And I will tell you, for me as a fan, I do hope the rematch happens. I wanted to see minutes between you guys. I guess I'm leading into I'm making a statement, but I want to get your take, because I would imagine you would have inside scoop if you and TJ are going to fight again. But it did seem as though if you're going to rematch, it's got to be at 135. I mean, if you gave him the chance to become champ, it's only fair that you would be given that same chance if you wanted to go to 135.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And that's, and even before we fought, I says, Dana, I'm going to beat this man and I'm not changing my tunes. I says, I'm going to beat this man. Watch my press conference on ESPN. I said, I'm going to beat this man and you're going to be forced to give me a rematch. I'm going to beat him 125 pounds. I'm going to take his soul, 135 pounds, and I'm going to take his belt. Just like that. Everything that I said, I even said I was going to knock him out in the first round because I know what it's like to cut weight. And you're going up against another creature, man. You're not going up against another normal fighter. You're going up against one of the greatest competitors of all time. And that's the way I see it. I may not be the greatest fighter, but I believe I'm one of the greatest competitors of all time. I will find a way to beat you.
Oh, you deserve that compliment for sure. You for sure deserve that compliment. So what is being talked about? Are they going to redo it at 135? And does Marlon throw a big wrench into this thing?
I mean, Marlon can take a back seat. That's what Marlon could do. He can take a back seat because Dana White wants it. TJ definitely wants it. He's pissed, man. He's like, he's not pissed. He's pissed that he didn't get a hit off of me. Like, sure. He did not touch me not one time. I think he got two kicks and they were both slaps. I devoured this dude. I threw the bones out. I spit them out. So he wants to fight. I know Dana wants to fight. I want to fight too, actually. I want to fight just to get another belt, just to add more gold to the legacy. And, I feel like that'll put me as one of the greatest combat athletes of all time, which I already feel like I am, Chael. I've done two of the greatest accomplishments that any combat athlete could ever do. Win the Olympics and win the UFC title. Beat Demetrius Johnson, the greatest of all time, and beat the greatest bantamweight of all time. Like, come on, guys. Where's my credit? Where's my respect, yeah, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey, I think that's fair. You're preaching to the choir on that. But hold on. You're saying that Dana wants to fight. We know the fans want the fight. Now you're saying Dana wants it. You're saying TJ wants it. You're saying you want it. But I'm still getting a vibe like you're not sure if it's going to happen. Isn't that the only ingredients you need? Don't we have a fight?
We do have a fight. We don't have a date yet.
Okay.
We do have a fight. But welcome to the UFC, man. Like I said, Marlon Moraes, he may step in there and be like, hey, dude, Henry, you're going to take this amount of money or we're going to give it to Marlon?
Sure.
That's exactly what happened the first time. The first time me and TJ were supposed to fight was supposed to be 135 pounds, like I wanted. And they came back, gave me a number that I wasn't happy with. I said, you know what? Bring them down. Bring them down. Now when I take them out, you're going to be forced to pay me double. If not, go ahead. Let the champ that lost to the boring flyweight go up and then just dominate the world or whatever he wants to do. That's sure. Fine. And that's kind of how I left it off. Like, I'm a very confident human being, Chael. Like, that, there's one thing that I don't like, and that's confidence.
So,
and belief.
Okay, so we got an agreement then, as long as everybody can get the contract.
As long as the numbers.
Okay, so
we're prize fighter. I'm a prize fighter, man. I'm, you know, there's options out there. There's Benavidez, 125 pounds. But there's also, the reason why I also want to fight TJ, because, man, there's legacy, man.
For sure.
There's legacy in this. Like, I beat him. I'm the flyweight champion. I know I could beat him at 135 pounds. Give me the opportunity. But just make sure those numbers are right.
For sure.
Make sure I see a bunch of zeros. You know?
You're being reasonable.
I want to be rich. I want to be rich like Uncle Chael.
You're being very reasonable, man. And you certainly earned it. So, okay. So I think we can put paid to that and see that everything gets worked out with you guys in the office. Let's move on. So speaking of Marlon, speaking of Jose, speaking of last weekend, I mean, those guys look pretty good, huh?
Yeah. They look good. But it's almost like sometimes I'll watch a fight and even when you see a knockout, I won't be so impressed because it's not so much of that right hand, but it's more of what his opponent didn't do in range, in fighting range, not distance, like no game planning. That's the way I see and visualize a fight. And I can tell you with Marlon and Asensio was in the line of fire. He got hit with two right hands and didn't react until the second one, until right. He was down. Moicano, I felt like for him, his strategy, he didn't respect TJ. He didn't respect Jose. He was a little starstruck, and I could see that. So sometimes we can talk about the technical aspect of fighting, but how many people actually go into the internal? What are their minds thinking? How do they react under the lights? I'm used to this.
For sure.
This isn't, dude, I'll go up against Daniel Cormier and I believe I could beat him.
Sure. Yeah. What you wear and what you put into your body is made to help you look, feel, and perform at your best. Shouldn't what you put on your skin every day do the same? Guys, our sponsor, Art of Sport, combines innovation with the best science and the best guidance of world-class athletes to take skincare to the next level for everyone. We all deserve to give our skin what it needs to smell, look, and feel its best. Go to artofsport.com. Use the promo code CHAMP right now, and you will get 50% off a trial kit plus free shipping. Just check out what's in this kit. Deodorant, fueled with invigorating citrus and pear scent. Hair and body wash, a 2-in-1 formula with aloe vera and tea tree oil. Body bar soap with activated charcoal and shea butter, and a free sunscreen that is high performance and SPF 50. Again, that's promo code CHAMP at artofsport.com to get 50% off a trial kit and free shipping, and treat your skin with the respect it deserves. Art of Sport, better for you products that perform better. Hey, where do you train, by the way? I know you're in Colorado. I know Captain Eric is behind things, but are you at an actual gym?
Yeah, no, I'm actually in Phoenix, Arizona, but I do go to Colorado and train. What I do is I build the team around me, Chell. Like, I know a lot of people, and again, man, I got my mentor who helps me out with all this. A very successful businessman. Got a great relationship with them. It's almost like, Henry, what do you need? He's like Santa Claus. You gotcha. Want a pink elephant in your backyard? Here you go. You got it. So what I'll do is I'll pinpoint certain guys. It's like, I'm truly a professional, Chell. Like, it's not me training like in a team and we're all doing the same thing. Like, no, everything that I'm doing is very, very particular for that certain fighter. So I'm bringing guys in from Holland. I'm bringing guys in from Brazil. I'm bringing guys in from Russia, from Asia. And we're combining all these people and kind of creating this perfect storm.
Private workouts, then.
Private. Good everything. Everything. Everything is specific, from science to recovery to technology. It's something that I've always dreamt of. And now it's like I'm successful because of that, because I'm a professional. Where before it was a traditional style of wrestling where you just put your head down and you just work. Yes, it got me to being the best in the world in that sport. But man, I don't know how long I could do that. I could be like, I'm going to give you an example of Cain Velasquez. Super, super young guy, man. But I feel like, and I love him. He's a dear and a great friend of mine, but I feel like he just trains a little too hard.
Grinds it down over time, right? You can grind it down. What did you make of, as a wrestler, I ask you this question. What'd you make of Aaron Pico getting knocked out? Should have he ever been in that position, or should he be using his wrestling a little bit more?
Yeah, and a lot of that he's gonna learn. He's stubborn, dude, and that's partially what makes him great too. Good, he's not great yet, but that's partially what makes him good is the fact that he's stubborn. But it's almost like the difference between Tom and Terry Brandt, the two twins.
Sure,
one of them's a gold medalist, and one's a bronze medalist. The one that was a bronze medalist was my coach. And the difference, and you would ask them, you know, what's the difference between Tom and Terry? And they would say, you know, Terry was just a little too stubborn than his brother. His brother thought a little bit more than Terry. And that was the difference. And I think in Pico's situation is he needs to think a little bit. He needs to think more of a competitor rather than a fighter.
Sure. How bad can a knockout like that, and he was out.
Yeah.
How bad can a knockout like that at 22 years old? I mean, can that take years off his career? Can that change things? Does he need? He needs to make sure he's not taking any of those hits anytime soon. Am I right?
Absolutely. I think he needs to take. I think he needs to take maybe 8 months off, minimum.
From training as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Just yeah. Fully recover.
Just yeah. Because I remember, and I had a concussion. I wasn't knocked out, but I remember having a concussion. Man, I could not do things right for like 4 months. Like my balance and everything was just off.
Wow.
I couldn't read a book. You know, I got knee on top of my head, and it was just, oh, man, like, what's going on?
Who did that? What fight was that?
No, this was just in practice and training with the knee pad.
Yeah. Ooh. Hey, that's a real thing in wrestling. You shoot into a guy's knee, it hurts. Headbutts are a real thing, too. But, you know, have you ever done that where you both shoot at the same time?
Yeah.
And you just, it's like two rams.
Yeah, that'll put you out. And I think it's just about being smarter, man. Like I think once you're a wrestler, you have that edge of knowing where you have pushed that body, knowing that you've gone through hell. Leave that, you've pushed the body that way. Like you don't necessarily have to do that for the rest of your career.
Sure.
And I think that's the problem, is too many wrestlers are putting that wrestling mentality into fighting rather than taking the principles of it, but being using it in a smarter way.
Right. How is Askren going to do with Lawler?
Oh, man.
I mean, I'd say the 2008 Olympians have had a pretty good run.
Yeah, I mean, the ironic part about it, Chell, is in 2008 was probably the worst Olympic team that we had, I think, since like 72 or 70 or 68. I forget what year. But somehow we killed it in the sport of mixed martial arts. So ironically, from the worst Olympic team probably ever, to probably the most successful and recognized team probably on the planet.
So you didn't answer my question. I mean, is he going to be all right here?
Because
old Robbie does well with wrestlers. I mean, we got to give Robbie some credit.
Yeah. Ben, I think Ben is the toughest matchup in the world. I think when people think about, you know, he's a Damian Maia plus 10. Like, he's just, he shows up, he'll beat anybody in the world. Right. And Ben shows up, but he could also get knocked out by anybody in the world.
For sure.
So
for sure. I mean, it's a hard matchup. I feel like people are overlooking it.
Yeah.
You know, because Robbie's not going to build it up much, which puts Ben in a tough spot. So Ben's going after everybody but Robbie. That's a tough match for both guys.
Yeah. I think if Robbie wins, you'll knock him out in the first round. If Ben wins, it's going to be a grind.
How close do you follow wrestling now?
Close.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at Dake Taylor, Jaden Cox, 2020. Who goes where?
Oh, damn. From what I've heard, and I'm pretty in with this, is Jaden Cox is actually going to go up and challenge Kyle Snyder.
All right. Has to, right? Because of weight. Is that the issue? He can't get down.
Yeah, I think he's a big boy.
Okay.
And then I believe Dake is going to go down to Russell Burroughs.
Wow.
And I believe Dake is, I'm sorry, David Taylor is pretty much going to have a, he's going to have a bye to the Olympics.
Leading
up to the game. So
I have David Taylor at the Wrestler of the Year. Am I right? All around Wrestler of the Year.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Taking out the Iranian twice. Mm-hmm. Took out Ajibistan, who was the Olympic champion in 2012. Yeah. I mean, it was a hard
unscored
road.
I think he was unscored at the Worlds too, right?
Dake was, Taylor was scored on. In fact.
No, I'm saying Dake. You're talking about Taylor or Dake?
I was moved up to Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking Taylor.
Well, so you think Taylor's the
I thought he was because of his path. Yes, I thought it was a very hard path, very hard season.
Yeah, he beat Yazdani.
Twice.
Yeah.
Plus the 2012 Olympic champion. Took out two Olympic champions this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a toss between him and Dake, I'll be honest with you. Because Dake is... But then again, you're probably right because David Taylor is the Olympic weight.
Right.
So you're right. It's, you know.
And you have to give some credence to that.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I hear the same thing, that Jaden Cox is going to go up against Snyder, which is very interesting. They got a pass. Mm-hmm. Jaden has beaten him before. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't predict that he will beat him 2020, but it sure makes things interesting. Then again, I wanted to predict that Snyder was going to take out Varner. Why would I? He was 19 years old taking on an Olympic champion. I mean, wrestling in America right now is so underrated. There's never been a better time to be a wrestling fan. And I do feel like so many people miss it, particularly our own mixed martial arts audience. I feel like if you love MMA, you would watch some wrestling if you knew where to find it, knew where it was at.
I'll be honest with you, Kel. Chad, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself, because everybody, when Saab Dilaev wrestled Snyder this last year, yeah. I was like, people in the jiu-jitsu world and the MMA world, they're like, hey, man, you know, Kyle Snyder. They were talking about the match. I'm just like, damn. That's when it kind of hit me, that social media and the internet's just, dude, it's giving a lot of attention to our sport.
That hurt, bro. I will tell you, I stayed up, I think it was, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning. Where are they wrestling? Budapest. 3 or 4 in the morning, stayed up for that match. And we're not guaranteed to get that match again. Snyder will do his part, but Saab Dilaev is not going to enter any tournaments unless he has to. So we're not guaranteed that match. And even if they both come back to the Worlds, they got to make it through killers to get to the finals. It hurt seeing that and seeing it so quickly. As a wrestling fan, I mean, I felt for Snyder, but also as a fan, I wanted to see more minutes. I did. I wanted to see some exchanges there.
Well, now, which is, I'll be, and in 2017... Yeah, so they wrestled last year, which is 2017 when they wrestled. I felt like Saab Dilaev was a little small. Me and my brother had talked about it, and he was like, man, if Saab Dilaev gains a little bit of weight and it fills into that weight class, Kyle Snyder's in trouble.
Sure.
Because he's a technical wizard. I have never, Chell, the first time I saw him win the Worlds at 18 years old, I said, this guy's going to be the greatest of all time. What he did to that Cuban and freaking teched him in 20, 30 seconds.
Yep.
The dude slapped him. He looked at him and says, you're mine. We did that. And then he did what he did. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, this kid is incredible.
That Cuban, by the way, wasn't just some new guy. He was in the finals the year before. I don't know if you know that. He was a returning world silver medalist. Mm-hmm. And yes, Saab Dilaev teched him.
Yeah. He did that to him. So, I mean, I think now looking at it now, cause let's be honest, man. Saab Dilaev has filled in into that weight class. Yep. Now it's going to be, who's going to make the adjustments? Is it going to be, is Kyle Snyder going to continue to keep lifting weights and getting stronger? He's already plateaued, man. What's Saab Dilaev going to do? Saab Dilaev is getting more technical. He's getting savvier. So there's an adjustment that has to be done with Kyle in order for him to beat him again. They wrestle again. If he doesn't beat him, he will never beat him, man. And that's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. I agree. And we'll be disappointed as a wrestling fan, but I do look forward. I mean, we're going to have to count. We got to wait 11
more
months.
No, trust me. I'm a huge Kyle. I love Kyle Snyder, man. Like, I look up to him. Like, when people ask me, like, Henry, who do you look up to? I'm like, dude, Jordan Burroughs, Kyle Snyder, the world champs of wrestling. Like, these are the guys that I admire. But I hope he makes that transition, man. I hope he finds the right appointed person, makes those adjustments, because this guy right here is not only a killer, but he's a technical machine.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest.
It won't truly feel like Valentine's Day unless there's a surprise bouquet of roses involved. And this season, the biggest and brightest roses are only found at 1-800-Flowers.com. So jump to it, because when you order early, 1-800-Flowers is going to hook you up with amazing deals on Valentine's Day rose bouquets, arrangements, and more, starting at just $29.99. As a matter of fact, they've got 18 romantic red roses for just $29.99. That's a tremendous deal. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. All you have to do is pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. There are so many unbelievable deals from 1-800-Flowers, but you have to hurry because bouquet prices will be going up soon. So take advantage today. To order Valentine's Day's bouquets and arrangements, such as 18 romantic roses for just $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click the radio icon and enter the code CHAIL. Be a hero this Valentine's Day. Order and save today at 1-800-Flowers.com. Code CHAIL.
Now back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Gable Stevens, Minnesota. Are you following this guy?
Yeah.
Heavyweight, 18 years old. Never in my life, Henry, have I thought somebody would be a four-time NCAA champion. Even Kale, even Stiebler, even Dake. I never predicted that they would do it. They just went out and did it. I predict, I expect, I would be shocked if it was not, if Gable did not win the NCAA's four-time, if he was ever beaten. And you know what else, Henry? True freshman, he may not give up a takedown at the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
And you know what? You know why I lead into him? I don't know how close you're following him. I lead into him because I have a piece of information that I don't know if it's accurate or not, but the word around the Big Ten is that he's going to wrestle this year, win NCAAs, take an Olympic red shirt year, do what he can in the Olympics, go right into mixed martial arts. Walk away, not try to win four titles. That's the rumor going around the Big Ten. I don't know where that came from, but I'm now going to share it with you. You know, he's training with Brock. Brock's at Minnesota. Brock's going in there, you know, getting ready for Daniel Cormier. Could be interesting.
Yeah, but I feel like that would be a mistake. I feel like him jumping into mixed martial arts would just be a mess. He's still a puppy, man.
Sure.
As big of a monster and a giant and that he is, I mean, it would, if I was to give him some advice, is don't get into this game until you fulfill your dreams, until you do what you got to do in the sport of wrestling. Because there's a lot of phenoms out there, but, you know, being experienced in the sport of wrestling, becoming a champion at the highest levels, that's only going to help carry you into the sport of mixed martial arts. His brain's still developing. He's a giant, but he's developing. He's probably still growing too.
Well, and heavyweight's a different deal. You know, you're not a lock to be a star or a great fighter at heavyweight. You're just not. If you can't be light on your feet and bounce around, some of those guys get too big. You know, the great heavyweights, you were bringing up Cain earlier, but Cain's right around 240. Stipe's around 240. Daniel Cormier moves up from 205. You don't really have a lot of those really big guys. In fact, I'll throw a name at you that we all thought would be the new bear in there, but it just didn't work out, was Steve Mocco. And some of that was he was so big when it came to being light. And so it just, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Just wasn't there.
Yeah, it was.
So before he gives up his education, I guess I'm arguing with you, right? When Gable hears this, I'm arguing with you. I don't think he should rush it either. I think he should stay in school, use that scholarship.
Yeah, but no, I think that's just a rumor. I think the kid's smart enough. I think he's got great parents too. Like this sport too, MMA. Like he's not gonna jump into the UFC right away either. Like he's gonna be fighting in freaking some backyard somewhere in Mississippi.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's gonna go from NCAA being wrestling in front of, 20,000, 25,000 people to a backyard in Mississippi.
Trying to get recognized.
Yeah.
Right.
And guys are throwing beer cans as you're fighting. Like, right. But anyways, Gabe, don't make that mistake, man, please.
You. So when did you decide you were going to get into MMA? When did you know this is the sport I want to go down?
As a kid, I feel like I was, when I was in eighth grade, I remember, like, as a family, they had them at Hollywood Videos, the rental store. We would, I saw it, we saw it for the first time. We kind of started running the videos. We kind of kept up with it. And I liked it. I remember seeing Mark Coleman, a lot of these, Kevin Randleman, Randy Couture.
Oh, you were really young then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a puppy, man. I was probably 13 years old, maybe 14. I was a kid.
Sure. Mark Kerr.
Mark Kerr. Yeah. The Smashing Machine. And I was like, damn, and I liked it. And this was, this was back in 99, this was back in 2001. Sure. And I just knew that was just the next step after fighting. So I had already kind of had it in my mind, okay, this is what I'm going to do after wrestling. But, once I won the Olympics, it's almost like that competitor, it's almost like I wasn't sure if I wanted to do that. I just, I accomplished everything but there was still that competitor in me.
Right.
And, It took a while to kind of spark that fire to be, to like, I want to become a world champion in this. And I submerged myself, Chell. Like it was, and everything that I do, I've everything that I've ever set my mind to, I've accomplished. It's not too many people can say that.
For sure.
But it's because of,
it's remarkable.
It's because of wrestling. It's because of the strength that it has given me, the grind, the humbleness of losing. Of any given day, man, you take a break, man. Your own training partner will take you out.
When you decided to go that route, did you get any pushback from Terry Brands?
I don't think he liked it. I don't think he liked it. But now it is crazy because we fast forwarded. Now every time I fight, he always sends me a text.
Really?
And he has no idea how special that is to me.
That is very cool.
He has no idea. But every time I see a text from him, I expect it now. I'm like, damn, Terry's watching.
Now, isn't it a little weird that the two roughest guys in the history of our sport of wrestling do kind of keep fighting at an arm's reach? I mean, we don't see a lot of the Iowa guys come in. We don't see those two. I mean, those two would be welcomed in. They get front row tickets. They don't see. It's like, this is what you guys do. You do it on the mat. You're doing it when it's not even within the rules. Yeah. I would think if anybody got behind this sport, it'd be the Brands boys. But I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably why, because they're already doing it. Like, sure. It's not about money for them. It's not about fame. It's about, in their eyes, it's like wrestling's the most purest, oldest, toughest, and they're right. But they take it to that extreme one.
Sure.
This is it. It's wrestling or nothing.
It's life.
It's almost like, yeah, wrestling is life, man.
You know, poor Nelson, Terry's boy is in the room. I say poor Nelson. I would only imagine that'd be hard, but maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Terry mentors him or keeps him. I don't know how that works, but he's in the Iowa room and quite frankly, he's entered two tournaments already this year. He's redshirting. So opens. He won them both.
Yeah.
Beat Hammers too.
Yeah. Yeah. He has Terry's genetics, man. I remember him as a kid. I remember him as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old kid. I remember babysitting him because Terry would, every once in a while, is like, I was super close with him. And he was like, hey, you can take care of my kids. Like, he trusted me. I was like, damn, I was a 20-year-old kid. All right, Terry.
I'll do my best. I can order a pizza.
And holy shit, man. I would play with that kid, man. I would leave tired. I would leave that house tired.
Really?
Man. Yeah. And you can tell, like, he just had the same little face that when Terry would get mad, I'm just like, shit, man. So the kid is special, man. I think part of that you would through nature and nurture.
Sure.
Look at who his dad is, and look at it, it's in him.
King Mo claims when he was living at the Olympic training. King Mo's so funny. Sometimes I don't know when he's storytelling or if it really happened. I just laugh every time he tells me a story. But he said that Terry Brands would give you guys, you know, like a morning off. Tomorrow morning's off. So that was the cue for the guys. Oh, we can go out tonight. We can play around. King Mo said they would come back and Terry Brands would be in a tree with binoculars and taking notes of when everybody came back to the training center. Did that happen?
Man, I tell you what, I was such a good kid. I never went out. But
would you believe that story's true?
Shit, kind of.
King Mo said he was in the cafeteria at the OTC one day, and he was having an orange pop, a Fanta. You know the orange?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And Terry Brands comes over and goes, "What's that?" And Mo says, "Orange pop." And he said nothing else about it. Brands said nothing else about it. He said 3 months later, they were in like Hungary at a tournament.
Yeah.
Mo gets beat 6-5, loses by 1 point.
Yeah.
Terry Brands comes up to him and says, "That orange soda came back a bitch in the ass, didn't it?" He didn't say it laughing, though. I didn't tell the story right. You know how intense he would have said it. That orange soda came back and bitch in the ass, didn't it? And walked off. That was it.
Yeah. No.
3 months later.
Yeah. No, I know it. Terry Brands is a trip, man. Probably the most passionate guy I think I've ever met. Just passionate, man. Like people think it's rage that he has, but it's really, it's passion. And I remember him calling me. He's like, freaking 12 sometimes, I mean, just late at night, I'd be like, "World champ." Click.
That's it.
That's it.
Does he need to say anything else?
I'm just
that's awesome.
Wow, I'm getting ready to go to sleep now. You're really gonna do this to me?
Could have been asleep.
And I'm
for
like,
that
and I'm like, "Terry? Terry?" Like, I know it's him, and
yeah,
I'm like,
right, caller ID. Oh, too funny.
You like saving cash, right? You know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Well, if you dig that, then get ready for this. You can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Let's get into some current events. Tomorrow night, Whitaker, Gastelum. How do you see it?
Oh, man, I feel like... I think Gastelum is underrated for this fight. I think, I'm gonna go back to, and it's not just a biased opinion because I'm actually out here to watch him. I came out to Australia to watch him win a world title. The kid is special. The kid understands range. The kid understands distance. His reflexes are second to none. I feel like he's gonna knock out Whitaker. I feel like he's gonna put him out in the first round. I really do.
Really? That fast?
I really do, yeah.
That'd be a relief
the
for
kid,
me.
The kid is, he has, his, he's only 6 pounds over. I mean, he's done everything right. I was talking to Rafael Cordero yesterday, and he's like, "Man, he's like, out of all my guys that I've ever coached, man, this kid is, I've never have seen somebody where I'm so sure that he's gonna win a world title."
Wow.
And this guy has coached everybody from Anderson Silva to Lyoto Machida.
Very exciting. And, okay, let's move down to the co-main event. Adesanya, Anderson Silva.
Yeah, I don't like to bet. I don't like to say who's going to win unless they're my friends. But, man, I have Anderson Silva. I think people are underestimating Anderson Silva tremendously. I think Stylebender is good, but I don't feel like, I think he thinks he's a lot better than what he truly is. And I think, and it's good to have that confidence, but dude, you're also going up against Anderson Silva.
Sure.
The guy that could throw on a freaking submission in the fifth round,
sure. Chill.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, I was in there with Anderson Silva and John Jones and Fedor Emelianenko, who get a lot of respect in the sport. So I got asked a lot of times, you know, who was better? And it was always kind of hard to answer, but I could tell you this. Fedor was the most powerful and John Jones was the most dynamic. Anderson Silva was the smartest.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Silva was the smartest guy I had ever been in there with, and it was frustrating. He would have little styles and little strategies and little moves, and they were really simple, but they were annoying. They were, and I would see them on the fly and go, "Gosh, how did he think of that?" Like in the middle of action, I would think, "How did he think to do that?"
No, and I remember your
but
fight.
It's a real thing.
And I remember your fight like it was yesterday. I mean, he played possum. Who plays possum?
Sure.
Like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I see. Even though he's 43 years old. I saw him at the elevator today, and I says, "Hey, man, I've been meaning to tell you." And he knew who I was. He called me Champ, which felt really good. He's like, "Hey, what's up, Champ?" And then when he said bye, he said, "Well,
you never met him before?"
No, I've never met him before.
Oh, okay. That is cool.
And I was like, "Hey, Anderson." I told him in Portuguese, and I says, "Hey, man, just remember." And I gave him that reference when I was 21 and I won the Olympics. You know, and I says, I won the Olympics at 21, and I finally won my world title when I was 31, 10 years later. But the reason why I won it at the age of 31 is because I remember that inspiration, and I remember that dream. I remember that fire that I had, the feelings after I won, how great it felt to be the best in the world. And it says, the key to your victory on Saturday night, I want to tell you this, is fight with inspiration, man. Fight with that dream, dude. Fight with that experience that you've had. And it's scary because the Anderson that you see now, he's super charismatic when he's on television. Like Anderson that's happy. Typically, an Anderson that was fighting Chael Sonnen, he did not want to freaking talk to the media.
Sure.
Now he's all about it. He's cracking jokes. He's dancing. I mean, he's doing, and I'm just like, man, this dude is, he's going to be dangerous because of that.
Sure. It is a very interesting fight. I tend to agree with you. I am leaning towards Adesanya, but I do tend to agree with you that there is still something special there. There is a very durable guy. I mean, if you just go back and look at the fact that he went 3 full rounds with DC on no notice. Mm-hmm. But he did that because of strategy. He didn't necessarily try to win that fight, in fairness. He was trying to get minutes and make it the distance. He knew, okay, I'm in over my head, I'm changing weight classes, and I have 2 days' notice to take on DC. However, he still did use some strategies that a lot of people don't realize he did to maintain, to preserve, to protect himself, and to eat up some minutes. And even if you're playing for a close second, which isn't the way to go into a contest, but I think we can agree the deck was stacked against him. He had to change weight classes on 2 days, catch a plane, and come and do this. It is because of strategies. And I will be very curious what he's going to implement. He's also played some games in the media recently where most of his workouts are jiu-jitsu based, and he's wearing the gi. And I don't know what the message is. I've been trying to. I know there's a strategy, but I haven't figured it out.
Only you, Chael. Only you catch. You catch things like that.
I know this turkey, though, right? I know this turkey, and I think he's trying to send a message of saying, "Hey, you believe we're going to do Muay Thai? I may pull you into my guard." I don't agree with the strategy. I don't even know if that's what he's going to do, but I think this is the story that he's trying to tell. There's a reason that all of his workouts have been with the gi on and in the ground. I just, something's going on there psychologically, but you're dealing with a pro here. You're dealing with a master.
You are. And I think, part of that, I mean, when you're fighting somebody that you look up to, man, he may change when he sees Anderson Silva in the middle of that cage on Saturday night. It's going to be different, Chael. Like it's. And I'll go back and talk about the Moicano
Jose.
I was like, Moicano's gonna stop this guy, but then once I saw him and I saw his bright eyes, and I'm just like, I was at the fights, I saw it. I'm just like, man, he's a little starstruck. And if Adesanya goes in there a little starstruck, he's in trouble.
Sure.
Doesn't matter if he can do a triple backflip, triple spinning kick. If he's whatever.
If he's in awe, he's in trouble.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. Because remember, he talked about him being his idol. You can talk all you want. When they close that cage, he's like, okay, shit's real now.
For sure.
Everything's going to... And that's partially... I don't know if Israel's going to be like that, but I'm heading more towards Anderson and his experience. I don't know. I just have this feeling, man. I may be wrong. He may get knocked out, but I have this feeling of trust in Anderson. Even as a 43-year-old man, I can see that. I can see him coming out and pulling something out of his hat and be like, what the hell was that?
It's possible. See, I feel the same way as you, that something either way, Henry, something special happens. Whether the old lion has this glorious moment and goes into a title shot, which he's been promised, or whether this is a passing of the torch. Either way, it's a significant contest. Something special happens. And it may be 2 or 3 years, and it's like a fine wine where it looks better with time. But I do believe 2 or 3 years from now, something special comes from this match, whether it's the resurgence of Anderson or you pass the baton. But either way, that, I believe, is the storyline. I think that's accurate.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you can go back and, you know, since we're talking about wrestling, Steven Adams, we're talking about him earlier. I mean, that's who I had to beat to make the Olympic team. He passed the baton, and I went out and won the gold medal. I mean, it's that could happen too.
Sure.
I mean, Israel might be the next Spider, which I think there's only one Anderson Silva. I think he's unique of its own. I think everybody has their own style. But I think, I don't know, man. I just feel like Anderson is full of surprises. So watch out.
I will tell you, since you brought up Steven Avis, one of my favorite series of all time. In fact, it's a top two. It's either Brands versus Cross for number one, or it's 2008 Las Vegas, you and Abbas, your guys' series to make the team. So the best wrestling, the scrambles, the hustles, the most conditioned, the tech that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And if any of the fans want to see that, by the way, I just watched it recently, about a month ago. It's on YouTube. So if any of the fans want to see what we're talking about, Henry Cejudo versus Steven Abbas, type that into YouTube and you will see some wrestling. Yeah. If you don't enjoy that wrestling, don't watch wrestling anymore. You're not a wrestling fan. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's great, great, great wrestling, man. It goes down as one of the best Olympic trials matches of all time.
Were you exhausted?
Yeah, man. I was exhausted of the process. I was exhausted of everything that's kind of happened, taking second at the U.S. Open. And then I had to wrestle my idol. I looked up to Steven Adams.
For sure.
I remember, you know, watching when I was in high school, seeing him beat Sammy Hinton in school. I'm just like, holy man, I want to be like that guy. I want to wrestle like him.
Four years
later, who do I have? I'm Israel Anderson Silva.
And you're too young to know this, but there was once a year called 2001, and Cale Sanderson won 4 NCAA titles that year. Mm-hmm. That was amazing and remarkable, but it sucked all the air out of the room because there was 2 other guys that had remarkable careers, Eric Guerrero and Steven Abbas. But because Cale was in that same class, they got no credit, but they both won 3 NCAA titles all in a row. Boom, boom, boom. 4-time All-Americans. Guerrero never redshirted, for the record, and still won 3. He would have been a 4-timer. He never redshirted. A lot of people don't know that about the Eric Guerrero story. They always forget that. Hmm. He wrestled as a true. And I guess just to your point about how incredible Abbas was and what you had to go through, iron on iron, just to get out of the country. It's remarkable. At 20 years old? Come on. You should have been in your red shirt year, sneaking into bars like everybody else, not making Olympic teams.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly. And, you know, it was more being that pioneer. Like since I was a little kid, I've always knew I was special, Chell. Like, and I say that sincerely, man. Like, I almost feel like I had this gift athletically and mentally. And I think it's almost like I found the perfect sport. And I was talking to Cordero yesterday about it. And he actually brought it. I was like, dude, I found the perfect sport and how passionate physically, you know, I was. And I was able to use all that. And I became the best in the world that, you know, in 2008 was the youngest in history. Foregone college, did it. I went a completely different route than everybody else because I had so much desire to do that. So we can go back and we can even rewind it back to TJ. To me, TJ was just another opponent in comparison to what I've accomplished, what I've done.
That's a real thing, what you just said there, that you found the right sport. That is such a real thing. You can have great athletes and tough guys. If they find the wrong sport, they're not going to have success. If you would have put all your effort into basketball or hockey, or and maybe you would have been great at those because you would have worked. But maybe you wouldn't have been, right?
I think I would have been packed by too many times.
Basketball wasn't a great example. But you understand what I'm saying. You really have to find that right sport. And a lot of it is about passion, but some of it is about athleticism. I mean, you have a natural speed. You have an ability to get in really good shape. You have flexibility. Yeah. You know why I'm bringing that up? That's the parent in me talking right now. I got a young man. I have my own dreams for him. But I'm not going to push my dreams on him. It's going to be his dreams. But it is very important that he's exposed to a lot of different things so we can find the right sport if he wants to go on and reach his potential. I've been philosophizing about that. You do that when you have a young one. But that's why I bring that up. It's so important. I think you found your right sports.
Yeah. No, and I think what it is, it's because I'm a thinker. When it comes to like getting to know like the human spirit, and how far it could be pushed. I think I have a good grasp on it. Like I truly do feel that. And I always tell people, in order for you to be the best in the world, 2 things have to mesh. Like to be the 1% of the 1%ers. I'm not saying the contender. I'm not saying a UFC fighter. I'm talking about to be the 1% of the 1%ers. Olympic champ, UFC, you know, champ, beating whomever. It's your heart has to match your ability. What is your heart? Your heart is your passion, your will, your desire, your something that you want to suffer for. You know, the word passion in Greek, the definition of its original origin means suffering. Like you have to be in love with something so much that you got to be willing to suffer for it. So that's the heart. And now let's get to the ability. The ability is something that's either God-given, or something that you've mastered over time and time again. That's something that's become repetitive, but you become a master of it and you enjoy that. So when you're able to get the heart and the ability, when they're able to kind of come together here, man, that's when you have that perfect synergy. But if one of them's lacking, there's one or the two are lacking. It's either your heart, your desire, your will, your passion, something that you want to suffer for, or it's your ability. Maybe you're not as gifted as you think it is. So it's there, that connection's kind of off.
I like that.
You know, so when you're able to connect those two things, heart and ability, holy shit.
Passion, man, means suffer. I like that. That's powerful.
Let's take a moment to give a big shout out to our friends at TrueCar. With TrueCar in 60 seconds, that's all you're going to need to get an offer on your vehicle. In the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, pet your dog, or do a few of those New Year's sit-ups, you can get a true cash offer. And best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone, even from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring in your vehicle. They'll check it out with you together. They're going to ask you a few questions. You're going to get a few answers, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell your trade-in, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. You got any final thoughts?
No, that's about it, man. That's about it. I just wanted. I'm glad me and Uncle Chell reconciled here. He's been.
I forgive you. Just so you know, I forgive you. All right. But I've had it with you, and I've had it with all the rest of you as well. So enjoy the fights, enjoy your weekend, and make sure you're back here next week, same Chael time, same Chael channel. And for that, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
General Hospital's Steve Burton and Bradford Anderson have been playing buddies on screen for years, only to discover that their real-life dynamic is perhaps even more fun with guests from daytime TV, the entertainment industry, and beyond.
No joking around. None allowed. We're a very serious show.
Download That's Awesome every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.